and trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall.
When I am sad,
sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, gold and grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all trust him when life's fleeting day shall end.
Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy.
He
Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, mend me, mold me, and fill me. Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory.
Driven on the restless sea of time, somber skies and howling tempest all succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by. we're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Victory, victory, victory in Jesus. That's where our victory comes from. I hope you can hear me okay on this microphone here. You let me know if you can't hear me clearly, and we'll try to do something about it here. I'll check it out to make sure, but hope it's going well for you out there. Let's see. I wonder if I need to turn that up a little bit. Let's see. Let's see here. Well, it looks like it's okay, so you let me know for sure if everything's coming in clear for you on that end, and hopefully, Lord willing, this is one of the last times that I come to you from this setup here. We're working, but one of the last times, I should say. We're not quite there yet. We've got to get some flooring ordered and get that done. And as soon as that's done, and then we've got to clean some other things. And Brother Andrew is setting up the computer now and getting all the programs in there and all that good stuff. I'll show you a picture. Let's see. Let me send you an updated picture here. Let's see. Not that. Give me a second. Got to go back in the Wayback Machine here. Here it is. All right. I'll put it on there so I can find it. Otherwise, I can't find anything. That's what'll end up happening. I won't be able to find anything. Let's see. All right. The suspense is killing you, I know. But you'll get to see from my perspective. From this angle, not here, but the one in the studio. Jamie from New Bedford, Massachusetts, listen all the time, but 99% of the time I watch the replay. God bless you. Well, God bless you too, Jamie. I hope you're doing well. All right, let's see if I can find this for you here and get you just an updated picture so you understand that I'm not joking. We really are getting it done here. So got to make sure you believe me here. Let's see. You know, I'm very fond of showing people things instead of just talking about things, right? You know, that's my normal way of doing things anyway. If you've known me for any amount of time, you would know that's exactly the way that I do things. Well, that's Carl's picture right there, but don't worry about that one. Let's see here. This is one side of the studio. This is from me looking out at those monitors. Yes, biblical manhood is a fight, Joseph Jordan. It is a fight for your life, literally. Okay, so that's looking out that way. There's another angle. Ooh. Let me see here. Did I only put two on there? Maybe I did. No. This one. There. That's that angle right there. So I'll be able to see you on two big screens. Because remember, we're going to do live call-ins also. So I need to have the ability to be able to see things easier. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Now, good to be with you all. Good to see you all on here anyway, again, and to be able to preach and teach and do all those things. I had 2 weeks off, and it was much needed time off. And I praise the Lord for that. God used it to recharge my batteries and to keep me going. And what a blessing that was for sure. Newest sermons. Let me get another page up here. I just preached two sermons Sunday, and boy, I'll tell you what, I felt like a rocket. I felt like Elon Musk's rocket to space. That's what I felt like when I was preaching, without all the weird satanic stuff that's involved with his stuff, which we'll get to here today. But anyway, this one will hurt you. This one will hurt. The duty of Christian fathers. That one will hurt. By the way, you don't have to be a father or a husband. You just have to be a Christian for that one to hurt. I promise you, that one will hurt. So will this one, but it will help you. It's a good pain. Disappointed with God. Has God failed me? That one you need to listen to. I just put that on YouTube, I believe. Let me see. I think I put it on yesterday. Let's see if I did. I did. I'm going to put the other one on tonight, maybe, or actually, I'll put it on for tomorrow at noon. Okay? That one will hurt, too. So, anyway, good stuff there. Good progress happening. We got a few more things, and we're almost done with the studio, and we can move on, and man, I'm looking forward to it. So you pray for us about that. Now, the next thing. June is celebrating Sodom and Gomorrah month. Okay? June is Sodom and Gomorrah month. All right? So, because June is Sodom and Gomorrah month, we have to be like Abraham and go and intercede. And we have to preach. So, Sodom and Gomorrah month is being celebrated in June. So, we will be out there in full force preaching at different events across. Did you hear that? I said across. That'll make all of my friendly, grammatically correct people angry at me because I said across. Did you hear that? Across the fruity plain. We will be preaching the gospel across the fruity plain. Okay? So you pray for us, because I usually dedicate June to not only preaching out there, but preaching in here and online across the fruity plain, celebrating for their celebration of Sodom and Gomorrah month. Okay? So we will be in full force. You pray for Brother Jack. He's on the Bend, Oregon street preacher. He's going to be out there preaching too. So you pray for them out there. But you pray for us that the Lord would continue to work and would use us as we get out there, because it's going to be, they're going to be mad across the fruity plain. And they're going to celebrate the history of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's their history lesson. They would like to teach you LGBTQ teachings. So I will teach the history. I'm always up for festivities and teaching about things. So why not? I like history. So why not? I'll do that in the month of June. So be ready for that. All right? So just in time, across the fruity plain. And we don't mean fruity pebbles, although some of them might mean that. All right. Anyway, good to see all of you on here. Let me say hi to a bunch of you. Rachel Marshall, Pilgrim Lady, Mary Teresa. Let's see. Bend, Oregon street preacher. Terry Carter. Cornell. Please pray for his wife. She's suffering from some depression. Please be in prayer for her. Blaine Medlin. Andrea from Iowa. Thank you for the welcome back. I hope you're doing well and your family. And I did go to Iowa and I did eat tenderloins. I did. My wife had a tenderloin so big that we split it with three of our children. That's how big it was. Let's see if I can find that thing. Let's see. Let's see if I can find that tenderloin. Find that tenderloin. There it is. I found it. I think everybody had some tenderloin. Well, it was me. It was my children. This is the tenderloin that ate Iowa. Are you ready for this? It is the tenderloin that ate Iowa. And no, my wife cannot eat this much food. Look at that. That right there is the tenderloin that ate Iowa. Right there. It swallowed the whole state of Iowa up. And I must say, it was really good. So my wife cut off all the around the bun and fed it to, like, you know, two or three of the kids. So we didn't have to order anything for them because they didn't eat anything. But when in Iowa, you must eat tenderloins. You've never ate a tenderloin until you've ate an Iowa tenderloin. All right? But my wife does make those keto, and they are really good, by the way. So, anyway. And Jethro's is a really good place to eat. Their food is really good. So, bunch of hillbillies. Best food you'll ever have. Hillbilly food is great, man. All right, anyway. We should get going here before all of my adoring, angry people that aren't fans, I should say, get mad at me. All right, because I'm 25 minutes into this thing, but I've been gone for 2 weeks, so I have to at least say hi, right? So anyway, by the way, I could eat that myself. I could eat that myself for sure. Definitely could, easily. But I don't every day, because if I did, I'd be 300 pounds. So, but I could eat that. Definitely could. Anyway, all right. We need to talk about Elon Musk. And first of all, we'll start with this one, I think. Why do I want to talk about Elon Musk? Well, for a number of reasons. One of the reasons I want to talk about Elon Musk is because I believe that Elon Musk is absolutely an Antichrist figure. I absolutely believe that he is an Antichrist figure. I do not believe he is a saved man. I believe he is a lost man, and I believe he is led by the spirit of Antichrist. I believe Elon Musk is like Tony Stark, Iron Man, which I'm going to show you. I also believe that Elon Musk is part of the realm of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You have the dark magic and you have the light magic. You have the dark, you have the black magic, and you have the white magic. He's part of it. And I believe what Elon Musk is doing, Elon Musk is part of the Antichrist conspiracy that is coming over the world. The symbiosis, Neuralink. The whole reason that he is buying or wants to or talks about whatever, whether he does it or not, Twitter. The whole reason for it is the gathering of information to build the beast. So, you know, I like to talk about Revelation chapter 13 because in the end times, Revelation chapter 13 is very important. And you're going to hear in their own words, in his own words, the things that I'm going to show you today. And whether he realizes or not, he's being influenced by Antichrist. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now I want you to think about it. As they're merging everything into one, breaking down every language barrier, breaking down every cultural barrier, breaking down every religious barrier, they're making them all one. They're conquering every tongue, every nation. They are building the beast and giving it all the information the beast needs to take over. To make it a god. They're making a God in their own image. That's who the Antichrist is. And by the way, I'm not saying Elon Musk is the Antichrist. I'm saying he's part of the system. He's preparing the way of Antichrist. And to overcome them, and power is given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He comes out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, just like a devil, just like the devil. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. See, the Antichrist is eventually going to give power. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor. It says here, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. See, they build the image. They make the image. That's what they do. They make the image of the beast. What is Elon Musk doing? Building the image of the beast. He's building it. He's part of it. He's absolutely part of it. He's a major part of it. In fact, he wants to be the Neuralink between it. They're building a God. They're building a God made in their image that is going to eventually take over the world. A system. Why? Because, see, Satan cannot be everywhere. Satan is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent like God. So what is he doing? He's having a beast system built. The beast system that is being built will network the entire world together and have all the knowledge that is necessary about everyone to control the world. World domination. To mimic the God of the Bible and Christ. The omniscient Christ, the omnipresent Christ, the omnipotent Christ. They are building the beast system to rule the world. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what Elon Musk is doing. He's part of it. He's saying, oh, I want, but I know, I realize AI is a beast that'll take over the world. So I think we should go ahead and just merge. Well, what is he talking about? Iron Man. I mean, he's showing you what he's going to do. So who is Elon Musk? Let's look at just a little bit of a brief history. Elon Musk is an archetypal serial entrepreneur with a string of successes before the startups that would make him famous. Robert Downey Jr. turned to Musk for help getting into his character as Tony Stark for the 2008 film Iron Man. Musk's enthusiast embrace of technology for technology's sake and his desire to push the limits of what's possible for private enterprise made him a close real-world analog for Marvel's billionaire arms dealer. Born in South Africa in 1971 to an American mother and a South African father, He made his first $500 at the age of 12 selling a computer game he had coded to the magazine PC and Office Technology. Now, not to mention that's weird that he does this at 12 years old, right? I know. It's weird, isn't it? It's really weird. So 12 years old, he plots out his life at 12. He's definitely an Antichrist figure. Think about that. In 1989, he moved to Canada, then to U.S. to study at a university. While studying at Pennsylvania University, he paid for his tuition by organizing house parties replete with club-inspired art installations. At that time, he wrote a business plan for an electronic book scanning service akin to the one Google would launch more than a decade later. Since the eventual launch of Google Books led to a $3 billion lawsuit from the Authors Guild that took 8 years to fight, Musk may have been lucky that the plan never got off the ground. His first break came in 1995 when he and his brother Kimball started the web software company Global Link Information Network, which created and licensed online guides to cities to newspapers. The company was rebranded as Zip2 and won contracts with the New York Times and Chicago Tribune before selling to Compaq in 1990 for more than $300 million. Musk reinvested these proceeds into X.com, an online financial services and payment company, which became PayPal. Customers found the name X.com confusing, and some assumed it was pornographic in nature, according to the firm's market research. PayPal grew rapidly, but largely without Musk. He was pushed out as chief executive in 2000, but remained on board with enough stock to get a windfall of $165 million when the company was sold to eBay. The period following his time at PayPal was the making of the Musk we know today. In 2001, he started thinking seriously about a space flight. Driven by a desire to send a rocket to Mars, the dream hardened into a genuine goal towards the end of the year. According to an early SpaceX investor, when back of an envelope calculation on the cost of rockets convinced Musk that the cost of reaching orbit could be slashed tenfold. In 2004, Musk invested heavily in an electric car company called Tesla, founded a year earlier by Martin Eberhard and Mark Tarpening. Musk's early investment and active role bought him the right to call himself a co-founder, and he took over as chief executive in 2008. The same year, the firm shipped its first car, the Roadster luxury sports car, and then Musk became a billionaire, right? That's what happened to him. He became a billionaire. So Musk is a billionaire, right? And Musk is involved with AI. But he's scared to death of AI, he says. And here's what he talks about when he talks about the symbiosis. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Let me get you something else here that I think... Nope, I think it's the one I want to go with. By the way, Musk was, I'll show you this real quick. Musk was a part of the Marvel Universe. He was part of that. He was actually in a movie with Tony Stark, right? He was in Iron Man 2. He was part of that. He has a cameo appearance there because he's much like it. He wants to do what Tony Stark did. He wants to merge the man with the machine. He wants to merge the iron and mix it with the clay. See, he's concerned. What keeps Musk up at night? Musk is up at night because he's concerned that AI will take over humans. So he decided the best thing he could do was take over the beast. So he would actually build the image of the beast, right? He would take it over before AI takes him over. Before AI takes mankind over, he would do that. Right? So it's important that you understand exactly what's going on here. He's going to tell the story, basically, of how he's afraid of AI. This man's going to tell part of that story, right? Of how he's afraid of that. How he's afraid of AI, he's afraid of the what it could do and its power and everything else. So guess what? He's decided that that he needs to do something about it. Good afternoon, Danielle. Hope you're doing well.
This is the place where robots meet. Look, you can see them here as slaves to logic. And this man on the hill comes to free them. Do you know who he is?
So I want to emphasize the purpose of Neuralink. Like, what's our goal? Our goal is to solve important spine and brain problems with a seamlessly implanted device. So you want to have a device that you can basically put in your head and feel and look totally normal, but it solves some important problem in your brain or spine. And the reality is that almost everyone over time will develop brain and spine problems. These range.
Okay, so stop right there. So here's what he's saying. What he's saying right here is that, hey, guess what? We can cure your brain and spinal problems. So if we could get Neuralink to work, if the symbiosis could take place, if we could merge man and machine together, if we can do that, then guess what? I mean, we can take care of your physical problems. All your spine injuries, you don't need a chiropractor anymore. All your nervous system injuries, you won't need them anymore. We all have this.
From minor to very severe, but if you live long enough, everyone's going to basically have some kind of neurological disorder, from memory loss to brain damage. But the thing that's important to appreciate is that an implantable device can actually solve these problems.
So if we can just implant something, if we could just implant something into your brain, then we can solve all your memory problems. Right? We can solve all those. We'll fix all those. We can make it all better. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't quite realize that. But all of your senses, your sight, hearing, feeling, pain, these are all electrical signals sent by neurons to your brain. And if you can correct these signals, you can solve everything from memory loss, blindness, paralysis, depression, insomnia, extreme pain, seizures.
Okay, so you have depression? Well, go ahead and just insert this chip into your brain, this Neuralink. And if you do that, we'll take your depression away. So what am I trading for that? What exactly am I trading for that? Well, I'll tell you what you're trading for that. Your very individuality. Because this AI is going to take over your brain. You're going to merge it with that beast system. And it's going to be gone.
Anxiety, addiction, strokes, brain damage. These can all be solved with an implantable neural link.
Okay, these can all be solved. Oh, wait, so what you're telling me, Elon Musk, is that literally what God said in Genesis? Let's go to Genesis. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 3. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of through the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. He assured her that she would not die. Wait, so in other words, if I just implant this chip into my brain, I'm not going to die. You can erase all the effects of the fall of man on the body and on the mind by this chip. That's what he's saying. That's literally what he's saying. That's the what have I told you before? That's the gospel of the beast. That's what that is. That is the gospel of the beast, friend. It's evolution. What he's describing is man evolving in such a way that he doesn't need God, that he's a God himself. That if he merges with the beast, he'll be a God. It is the gospel of Antichrist. That you can be perfected in your flesh. Ye shall not surely die. He promised her that. He's an Antichrist.
In the short term, Neuralink's BMI may be used to fix neurological problems and disorders. As Elon Musk has pointed out, over time, virtually everyone who gets old will suffer at least one, if not multiple, common neurological issues, such as memory loss, hearing loss, seizures, strokes, and brain damage, etc. With the development of Neuralink's device, these problems may be a thing of the past. Better yet, the integration of Neuralink's device with the human brain may advertently solve the artificial intelligence alignment problem by achieving a symbiotic relationship between humans and machines. This is because there are many cases where an AI and a biological intelligence could benefit from each other's actions. The AI receiving data from the human brain and the human brain receiving data from the AI. The benefit of this relationship would greatly outweigh the costs to both humans and AI systems. However, it is also very likely that AI systems and biological intelligences will at some point be in conflict.
I think the first bit of advice would be to really pay close attention to the development of artificial intelligence. We need to just be very careful in how we adopt artificial intelligence and to make sure that researchers don't get carried away. Because sometimes what happens is a scientist can get so engrossed in their work, they don't necessarily realize the ramifications of what they're doing. So I think it's important for public safety that we, you know, governments keep a close eye on artificial intelligence and make sure that it does not represent a danger to the public.
Elon Musk has commented on the dangers of AI, saying it is the greatest risk we face as a civilization. However, in order to prove that Neuralink can solve this problem, two things will need to become clear. How does Neuralink achieve symbiosis with the human brain? And what are the side effects and potential drawbacks of this symbiosis? One possible downside would be that humans would lose their sense of individuality.
Oh, you mean we would all be brought into the collective as a beast? That's what you're saying? You'd all be part of the beast. You'd all be one. All brought in to be one. That's one of the dangers? You mean you'd lose your individuality? Yeah. You'd be brought into bondage to the devil. That's exactly what would happen. It's another gospel, friend. It's perfection in the flesh. Can you all hear the video okay? I can try to find a way to turn it up. Somebody probably turned it down here. I don't really know which one that's on. I could try to ask Andrew and see if which one got turned down. I cranked the video up, the volume up on the video, so hopefully it's louder than what it was. Maybe that'll help a little bit.
If we all interconnect our thoughts and ideas into the cloud. However, if we can continue to retain our individuality and use Neuralink in a productive way, the benefits far outweigh the potential risks. Worth mentioning is Neuralink's recent development of a device which connects people's brainwaves to computers to allow them to control machinery with their thoughts alone. The device is able to read from and write to neural synapses in a person's brain using very fine needle-like electrodes that penetrate a person's cranium. This technology, already in use on animals, requires no invasive surgery. Advanced versions of such devices inserted into the brains of quadriplegics and those suffering from brain trauma and other ailments that prevent them from moving their physical body could allow them to restore, if not enhance, the physical capabilities of the human body.
So in other words, basically making superhumans. The problem is what's the trade-off? I'll tell you what the trade-off is. The trade-off is you're going to lose your own soul. That's the trade-off. The trade-off is being taken over and your brain hacked. That's the trade-off.
We've simplified this to simply something that is about the size of a large coin, and it goes in your skull, replaces a piece of skull, and the wires then connect within a few centimeters or about an inch away from the device. And this is sort of what it looks like. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires. Current prototype version 0.0.
Oh, it's just like a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires. It just goes right to your brain and controls your mind. Takes over your mind. Well, yeah, but you're going to have access to information. You're going to be able to, you won't have any more anxiety, any more depression. Well, yeah, because you don't have your own thoughts. Your thoughts are being taken over by something else that sends electrical impulses to your mind and changes, or sends thoughts into your mind, which I'm going to show you, by the way.
0.9 has about 1,000 channels, and it's a 23 millimeters by 8 millimeters. In terms of getting a link, you need to have the device. You need to have a great robot that puts in the electrodes and does the surgery. So you want the surgery to be as automated as possible, and the only way you can achieve the level of precision that's needed is with an advanced robot.
The human race is advancing towards a great merging with the technology it has created. And as our technology grows, we will have to confront the questions that arise from our merging with it, not just of how to create it, but of how to control it, and what heights we might achieve through this process.
See, we got to figure out how to control the AI. But what's happening is Satan. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you really want to understand the end of it, it's this right here. When you go to Revelation chapter 13, which we're going to still walk through this video, I'm not done yet, but I'm going to show you right here. And he exercises all the power. Let me see. Let me back up. Hold on. To give life. Let's see. Here it is, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. They are imaging. Do you understand? They are imaging the beast. This is the imaging of the beast. But it's not sentient. It's not sentient yet. But the Antichrist is going to give life under the image of the beast. So when he gives life unto the image, that's when the beast connects all those people together. Yep. I believe that's the way possession. I believe that's the way that ultimate taking over of the soul and possession will be, is through that. Because they're all going to be on one system linked. They're all going to link it together.
For the first time, there is a real possibility of extending our individual mental capabilities in a manner that goes beyond physical and biological constraints.
So we will make the human mind better than God made it. We will connect the human mind through the symbiosis through the technological singularity, we will connect the human mind together with machine and make the mind like a computer with all the wealth of information and knowledge across the world. And it'll all be here. What did Satan say with the gospel of the beast? Ye shall be as gods. I mean, when you know everything, you don't have to die.
The goal of Neuralink is to help achieve this vision, to come up with a neural lace that's doing something beyond what we are doing right now in a major way. One of the main long-term goals of Neuralink is to help humans keep with the upcoming rapid technological advancements. By significantly extending the natural capabilities of the human brain, we will possibly create a global neural network of minds. This will allow us to either create or enhance a collective consciousness.
Collective consciousness. This is a form of possession, and it will be. The Antichrist will use this. He will use it. And it's being built now for that purpose. And not enough people are paying attention to it. They're not paying attention to it. At all. They only see the benefits of it. They're not seeing what's going to happen.
Connected group of minds working together to solve the problems of humanity in the face of rapid technological advancements.
Oops.
Thus far, it seems, emerging solution for the AI...
Wait, you mean they're going to all collectively work together? Right? You mean kind of like they're getting the band back together? Yeah, they are. And the whole earth, Genesis chapter 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language. They may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. And they left off to build the city. That's what they're doing now. They're building the city. They only left off the spiritual tower, the spiritual doors they were opening, along with their demonic help.
AI control problem is the best option for humanity to make it into the next century. An additional argument for the merging option is that the control problem might take a long time to satisfactorily solve, and some preliminary work needs to be started as soon as possible, but also because of the possibility of a sudden intelligence explosion from subhuman to superhuman AI, in which case there might not be any substantial or unambiguous warning before a superintelligence arrives. In addition, it is possible that insights gained from the control problem could in the future end up suggesting that some systems for artificial general intelligence are more predictable and amenable to control than other systems, which in turn could helpfully nudge early AGI research towards the direction of the more controllable AI.
Oh, more controllable AI. So we'll actually control them. By the way, do you know what witches do? Witches think that they control spirits. Right? Witches think that they control spirits and they can control those devils. And they have power over those devils and they can use those devils and for their advantage. Like those devils are their servants. But they're deceived because those devils actually control them. The Bible shows that those people are taken over and controlled by those devils. That's what's happening here. They're deceived enough to believe that they're going to be able to control AI. But Satan is going to use AI. He's going to use that artificial intelligence. What's that? Think about that. Antichrist intelligence, counterfeit intelligence. It's artificial. That's the Antichrist. He is artificial. He is a phony.
Proposed approaches to the control problem include the creation of friendly AI. As Nick Bostrom states, the best strategy to assure ourselves that an AI remains friendly may be to endow it with interests similar to ours. If this strategy is successful, it will have the additional benefits of directing the first superintelligent system towards objectives that humans value. In other words, the control problem may be easier to solve if the superintelligent system is designed so that it wants what humans want, which is also known as the value alignment problem.
The thing that's going to be tricky here is that it's going to be very tempting to use AI as a weapon. The on-ramp to serious AI, the danger is...
It already is a weapon. The algorithms, everything, it already is a weapon. It's already being used. They are gathering, they are spying on us. They are gathering information about us. They are gathering everything. It is a weapon. Why do you think Elon Musk is talking about buying Twitter? The reason he's thinking about buying Twitter and he wants to buy Twitter is to gain the information for AI. It's like a witch that goes around and gathers different power and different spirits from different teachers. That's what wizards and witches do. That's what Satan's kingdom does. That's what Simon the Sorcerer tried to do. He tried to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. He tried to buy the power to lay hands on somebody for the Holy Ghost and give them the Holy Ghost so he could make money with him. That's what he tried to do. That's what Simon the Sorcerer wanted to do. Well, that's what Elon Musk wants to do. That's what all these guys do when they acquire these businesses, these algorithms, these all this stuff. That's what Mark Zuckerberg does. A billionaire. What does he do? He gathers information about people, sells the information about people, uses the information about people, and profits. The merchants of the earth profit on that. But what are they doing? They're building the beast. That's what they're doing. Building the beast. They are building the Antichrist system.
Going to be more humans using it against each other, I think, most likely. From a long-term existential standpoint, that's like the purpose of Neuralink, is to create a high bandwidth interface to the brain, such that we can be symbiotic with AI. I think best case scenario, we effectively merge with AI, where AI serves as a tertiary cognition layer, where we've got the limbic system, primitive brain essentially, we've got the cortex. If we do have a third layer, which is the AI extension of yourself, that is also symbiotic, and there's...
Do you hear how he's talking? The AI extension of yourselves. That is also symbiotic. Do you get what he's saying? He's going to take you, or wants to take you, and see you in the symbiosis, and see something alternately created that's still an extension of you.
Enough bandwidth between the cortex and the AI extension of yourself such that the AI doesn't de facto separate. That could be a good outcome. That could be quite a...
He's saying, so in other words, we can control through the symbiosis, we can merge with this devil and then we'll just control it. No, you won't control it. You're going to be controlled by it. Because it's going to be like, let me just say it this way. Like an electronic possession. It's going to control the mind, the body, and consume the soul. It will. How will you know what you are thinking as opposed to what the machine is thinking? How will you know? You won't. Because the machine, the beast, will be ran by devils. They will be the image that gives life under they will be the that will be the power that gives life under the image of the beast. See, because all this is going to be imaging. Imaging you. That's what this is. It's imaging you. That's exactly what it is. It will image you.
Positive outcome for the future.
An AI system that has already surpassed a human level of intelligence might well deliberately hide the moment at which it becomes super intelligent in order to try to avoid any attempts to shut it down. However, once an AI has fully matched and then surpassed human intelligence, it will be difficult for it to hide it for long, especially if it is openly interacting with humans. And while it is possible that humanity will never know what causes an AI system to suddenly become super intelligent, it is possible that with foresight and an appropriate level of caution, this occurrence could be predicted and even controlled.
So you're thinking you're going to control this. It's deception. That's the deception that comes over all the earth. They're going to be deceived into thinking they're controlling this when they're actually controlling it. John Baziglone, I know exactly what you're talking about. I did a broadcast on Yuval Harari, or whatever you call his name. I already did a broadcast on him. I went back and talked about that, about him hacking your brain and controlling and everything. We talked about that about, a month ago or so. The World Economic Forum, and I know that's going on right now, and I thought about talking about that. But I promised everybody that I would talk about Elon Musk when I came back because I wanted to deal with that very issue. But yeah, you're right. He did say that, and he's all part of it.
Thanks for watching.
So there you go. Now, let me get to this. I think that's that one. Let me see here. Let me make sure I got the right one here, okay? Okay, here it is. Well, how's it working, Neuralink? How's it working? Well, let's see. Let's see how it's working, right? We'll have to look at that. We'll have to see how that's working. How about a monkey that's had this injected into his brain, right? How about we see that, and it's right there.
This is Pager. He's a 9-year-old macaque who had a Neuralink placed in each side of his brain about 6 weeks ago. If you look carefully, you can see that the fur on his head hasn't quite fully grown back yet. He's learnt to interact with a computer for a tasty banana smoothie delivered through a straw. We can interact with the Neuralinks simply by pairing them to an iPhone, just as you might pair your phone to a Bluetooth speaker.
Are you catching this? Are you catching this? He linked the monkey to his iPhone and the brain of that monkey, and he's controlling the brain of that monkey. This is what he wants to do to you. Elon Musk, no matter how much he cries about free speech and everything else, he is not your hero. He is not a hero. I know some things about him make him a likable guy, but that's how the Antichrist is going to be. Think about this for a second. They are showing you, we want to do this to human beings. This guy is not your friend. This guy is not mankind's friend. He's Antichrist. Now, if you're for the gospel of evolution, the gospel of the beast, if you're for that, then yeah, you might like that. But you're the monkey in the lab. Do you understand? You're the monkey. Elon Musk is not a hero. He is not a hero of the libertarian movement. He is not anyone's hero. He is not anybody to look up to. He is building the beast, and he's doing it under the guy. He's more dangerous than Yuval Harari. Why is he more dangerous than him? Because he's actually a nice guy. The other guy's like, I just want to eat your brains. I want to take spoon and cut your head open and eat brains. Want to eat your brains for breakfast with frosting on top. Want to do it now. Please let me do it now. I want to eat your brains. That's how that guy is. Right? As he has his Dr. Evil laugh. But this guy's doing it with a smile on his face, being like, I believe in free speech and I want to buy Twitter and I like everybody. And I'm voting Republican. And I believe in free speech and blah, blah, blah. That guy's more dangerous. Right? Elon Musk is way more dangerous because he actually is likable. The Yuval Harari guy, that guy, he's not likable. He's the kind of guy you would drop out of an airplane and leave somewhere because you really do feel like that guy wants to open the top of your head up and eat your brains out. Like, really? Like, really? But Elon Musk is the type of guy that you're like, man, he's a pretty cool guy. I mean, he's an inventor. He does a lot of neat stuff. I mean, that guy's a pretty neat guy. He's like Iron Man. I mean, he's like, he's a pretty cool guy. But he's subtle. That's right. Like a serpent. He's much more dangerous. Because you actually like him. You actually want to like him. He's dangerous. He's very dangerous.
The links record from more than 2,000 electrodes implanted in the regions of Page's motor cortex that coordinate hand and arm movements.
Just remember, class, you're the monkey. You're the monkey.
Neurons in this region modulate their activity with intended hand movement. For example, some might become more active when he moves his hand up, and others when he moves it to the right. By recording from many neurons and feeding their activity into a decoder algorithm, we are able to predict Page's intended hand movements in real time. First, we calibrate the decoder by recording neural activity as Page uses the joystick to move a cursor to targets presented on the screen. As he's playing this game, we're wirelessly streaming, in real time, the firing rates from thousands of neurons to a computer. Using these data, we calibrate the decoder by mathematically modeling the relationship between patterns of neural activity and the different joystick movements they produce. After only a few minutes of calibration, we can use the output from the decoder to move the cursor instead of the joystick. Page still moves the joystick out of habit. But as you can see, it's unplugged. He's controlling the cursor entirely with decoded neural activity. Our goal is to enable a person with paralysis to use a computer or phone with their brain activity alone. Because they wouldn't be able to move a joystick, They would calibrate the decoder by imagining hand movements to targets. One of the things the Neuralinks allow Pager to do is to play his favorite video game, Pong.
He gets to play his favorite video game, Pong. Do you see how they're doing it? They're trying to make it like something trendy and cool that hear this, don't you want to be the monkey that plays the video game? Don't you want to be the monkey whose mind is controlled? Don't you want to move things with your mind? Can I help you something, class? You're not supposed to move things with your brains. You understand that? God gave you digits. God gave you arms. He gave you legs. And yeah, your mind works to move those things. You're not supposed to move things other than what's in your body with your brains like that. That's called devil possession. That's getting into a way other realm of things. Controlling things with your mind. It's demonic. You understand? You're not supposed to do that. That's getting into a whole other realm. It's getting into a devilish realm. This whole thing is satanic. That's where it's headed. They are building the beast. That's what this is. And Elon Musk is a major player in this. Major. And don't you ever forget it. He's the most dangerous one. Why? Well, because when you look at Bill Gates, all you see is a little red-headed serpent. Like, you just see him and you look at Bill Gates and you're like, ugh. That guy's a scumbucket. That guy's a little troll under a bridge. That's what that guy is. That guy openly said that he wanted to kill people. That guy said if his vaccinations were correct, he'd be... We'd really depopulate the world.
To control his paddle on the right side of the screen, Pager simply thinks about moving his hand up or down. We've removed the joystick altogether. Now that he's up to speed, let's increase the difficulty and see how well Pager can play with the Neuralink. As you can see, Pager is amazingly good at Mind Pong. He's focused, and he's playing entirely of his own volition. It's not magic. The reason Neuralink works is because it's recording and decoding electrical signals from the brain. Great game, Pager. And what better reward for a monkey than a banana?
What better reward for a monkey than a banana? Oh, what a wonderful reward that is. Let me see if I can get this. What does this do? What does that do? I don't want that. There should be a way to... I'm trying to... This is a horrible... This article is absolutely horrible. Hang on a second. Elon Musk, horrors of Elon Musk Neuralink revealed. This comes May 2022. This is a brand new article from The Sun, who knows how accurate it is. But in 2016, the world's richest man founded Neuralink with neurotechnology, a company that hopes to soon implant chips into people's brains. Dubbed Link, the chip would monitor and even stimulate brain activity. Most notably, it holds promise for the restoration of sensory and motor function. We talked about that. However, the reality of the situation may be a bit grimmer than Musk lets on, according to experts. Earlier this year, Neuralink confirmed that at least some of the 23 macaque monkeys involved in Link's experiment either died from trauma or euthanization. All the monkeys died. Well, you're the next monkey to die. Facial trauma, seizures, and loss of toes and fingers were just some of the trauma the animals endured, according to the Physicians Committee. Shortly after the report was filed, many animal activists took to social media to publicly decry Musk and Neuralink. Researchers and scientists have expressed both fear and horror at Musk's goal of connecting human brains to computers. This mainly stems from many questions regarding the safety of the devices. What I've seen in the field is we're really good at implanting the devices, Dr. Laura Cabrera, who researches neuroethics at Penn State, told the Daily Beast. But if something goes wrong, we really don't have the technology to explant them safely without damaging the brain. Meanwhile, Dr. Johnson of sunny upstate questioned whether the science backs Musk's vision at all. If Neuralink is claiming that they'll be able to use their device therapeutically to help disabled persons, they're overpromising because they're a long way from being able to do that. Other reasonable concerns include the misuse of this technology for profit. I don't think there's a sufficient public discourse on what the big picture implications of this kind of technology becoming available are, said Dr. Carola Kreitmeier, assistant professor of medical history and bioethics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I worry that there's this uncomfortable marriage between a company that is for profit and these medical interventions that hopefully are there to help people. Anyway, so there's some people that are a little concerned with that. And they should be, right? They should be concerned with that because Elon Musk is going to make a monkey out of all of us. That's what he wants to do, right? He's the one, the incredible and controversial evolution of Elon Musk's Neuralink has another article, right? Here's another article. This is what we talked about. Musk Neuralink to help people with brain injuries in the short term. Could be life-changing, they say, right? Could be. It could help people compete with AI or maybe even interface with it. Sure it could. That's the goal, right? To interface with it. That's the goal, right? That's what they want to do. It's very dangerous. Let me see here.
We still have challenges spanning many fields of engineering. So if you're good at solving hard problems and want to change people's lives, even if you've never worked with the brain before, we would love to hear from you.
They're building the beast. That's what they're doing. Right? They're putting it all together. And they're building the beast. Hang on one second. Let's see if I can find the one that I had initially. So basically, Elon Musk, his goal is to take AI, which he believes these other companies are using, they have potential to use it for evil, and his idea is to merge them together. So the others say, oh, just leave AI separate, and AI can do this. His goal is like Google's goal, DeepMind, right? He was a part of, what a lot of people don't know is, let me find this for you, Elon Musk was a part of DeepMind. He said this back in, I believe he was, I could be wrong about that, but I'm almost for sure that he was. Let's see, here's the article. Let's go to it right here. Elon Musk believes that London research lab DeepMind is a top concern when it comes to artificial intelligence. DeepMind was acquired by Google in 2014 for a reported $600 million. The research lab, led by chief executive Demesis Haspisis, is best known for developing AI systems that can play games better than any human. Just the nature of the AI that they are building is one that crushes all humans at all games, Musk told the New York Times in an interview published on Saturday. It means it basically is the plot line in war games. DeepMind declined to comment. Musk has repeatedly warned that AI will soon become just as smart as humans and said that when it does, we should all be scared because humanity's very existence is at stake. So I want you to think about this. So in other words, his answer is, we got to take it over. We got to take AI over and control it, merge it with our minds through Neuralink. That way it doesn't consume us. Do you see the Antichrist ploy there? Choosing rather to merge with it, to take control of it, than to be controlled by it. Well, you and I should choose neither. We should have no part of it. The tech billionaire who profited from an early investment in DeepMind, that's right, he did invest in it, told the New York Times that his experience of working with AI at Tesla means he is able to say with confidence that we're headed toward a situation where AI is vastly smarter than humans. He said he believes the time frame is less than 5 years. That doesn't mean everything goes to hell in 5 years. It just means that things get unstable or weird. So he's painting himself as being a good guy that's going to be like the savior. He's going to save humanity from AI by merging with it. That's transhumanism, folks. That's the symbiosis. That's the technological singularity. His idea is different than some of the Google people. Their idea, like Ray Kurzweil, is that you upload your brain into the internet. His idea is that you interface with it and you control the internet. You control whatever's coming with your mind. Musk co-founded OpenAI Research Lab in San Francisco in 2015, 1 year after Google acquired DeepMind, set up with an initial $1 billion pledge that was later matched by Microsoft. OpenAI says its mission is to ensure AI benefits all of humanity. In February 2018, Musk left the OpenAI board, but he continues to donate and advise the organization. Musk has been sounding the alarm for AI for years, and his views contrast with many AI researchers working in the field. In May, CNBC reported that Musk's relationship with the AI community is complex. A large portion of the community thinks he's a negative distraction, said an AI executive with close ties to the community who wished to remain anonymous because their company may work for one of Musk's businesses. Super intelligent AI, building machines that are just as smart as humans, is widely regarded as the holy grail of AI. But some, including Musk, are concerned that machines will go on to quickly outsmart humans when human-level AI is achieved. Last October, AI pioneer Yoshua Bengio said, "We are very far from superintelligent AI systems, and there may even be a fundamental obstacle to get much beyond human intelligence." What's that fundamental obstacle? The soul. The DNA. Of the actual DNA also. They have to hack that and overcome God's formula. They're trying to overcome and figure out God's code. They want to completely hack the book. Completely hack the code so they can completely rewrite it. And what are they trying to overcome? I believe it's the soul. They're trying to overcome the soul. That's what they're trying to do, and they haven't been able to do it yet. And they won't be able to. Man will have to give into it. And when man gives into it, God will give him over to his own depravity. God will give those people over to their own reprobate mind. See how that works? God's going to give them over to that. You want that? Okay, you can have that. You want to be gods in the flesh? Okay, go ahead. And then they're going to be consumed by the Antichrist. They're going to be taken over by the Antichrist with this beast system. That's what's coming. That's what this is all about. At the Beneficial AI Conference in 2017, Musk and Hasbis sat on a panel alongside Oxford professor and superintelligence author Nick Bostrom, Skype co-founder, Google engineer Ray Kurzweil, Berkeley University computer scientist Stuart Russell, and several others. At the start of the panel, titled "Superintelligence: Science or Fiction," everyone agreed that some form of superintelligence is possible, except Musk. However, he appeared to be joking. Asked whether it will actually happen, everyone said yes. When asked if they would like superintelligence to happen, Hasbis said yes, while others gave a more nuanced, "It's complicated." Why? Why is it complicated? Because they know what they're going to do. That AI, through the beast system, through devil possession, is going to take them over. It's going to control them. It's going to consume them, and they know it. They know it. That's why Musk is so afraid of it. So he's going to try to merge it because he thinks he can control it. That's what he believes. Why? Well, because Musk is a very intelligent man. Probably a very possessed man. He's full of devils. And he's got a high intelligence level. And he believes in his pride and his arrogancy that he can do that. That he can merge. He can cause the symbiosis to take place. He can use Neuralink. He can allow you to control things with your mind. That he can do all that. Like, he believes he can do that. He absolutely believes that. He believes that the human mind can reach that level of intelligence, merge with them. Right? What does the Bible say? The Bible speaks and tells exactly what's going to happen. And he gave power to give life out of the image of the beast. And he had power to give life out of the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. See, these people are billionaires, right? They are the merchants of the earth in Revelation 18. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It's Babylon. Babylon. That's what it is. It's Babylon. They are building Babylon. They are building the beast. And everything is being gathered together to do it. And the real question to ask yourself is this: am I right with God? Am I looking for salvation in the flesh? Or salvation in Jesus Christ alone? Am I looking at being a God without Christ? Or do I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for sinners, was buried, and rose again from the dead. That this flesh is wicked as hell. That human nature is wicked as hell. And we're all going to die. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment of God is coming upon sin, and that we are all sinners, and we are all condemned in this flesh. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. That the Bible, that God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Mankind does not have a heaven and hell problem. He has a sin problem. Every man, woman, and child alive has a sin problem. We are sinners. And the gospel says, God promised us that we would die. He promised us that man, if we ate of that fruit, that man would die. And we are sinners, and we love our sin. But he promised the seed of the woman would come. In Genesis chapter 3, he promised that the seed of the woman would come, who is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No man can perfect you in the flesh. This flesh is fallen. This flesh is broken. This flesh will die. Worms will eat this flesh. But God shall raise this body from the dead one day, if you are saved by the grace of God. The moment you die, the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment you die, your body goes to the grave and worms already start to eat it. Rigor mortis sets in. The body begins to fall apart, to be eaten of worms, to die. But the soul immediately goes to one or two places. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've cried out to Christ for eternal life, then your body goes to the grave, but your soul goes to be with the Lord. And Jesus said, one day, our bodies will be made new, and we shall be like him on that resurrection morning. We shall rise. We shall rise. But you know something? If you're lost, your body's going to go to the ground and your soul's going to go to hell. You're going to die and go to a devil's hell because you deserve it. Because you're a sinner and exceedingly sinful. And if you reject the sinless Son of God, you will die in your sins. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall all likewise perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus died for your sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus came and was the perfect sacrifice to die on the cross for your sins. And he was buried, and he rose again from the dead, and he defeated death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus died for sinners. And if you will own your sin before him, if you will confess your sin before him, you need not worry about dying. You will be given grace to die when it is time to die. But if you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have good reason to fear death. Because death will send your soul to the lake of fire for all of eternity. The Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the promise to the lost. You're not going to live forever in peace. You will die and go to a devil's hell. And that old wicked body will be returned to you. That decrepit body, when that resurrection happens, and you're going to answer, the Bible says, for that. It says here, Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Right? Let's go back. Let's back up a little bit here. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If Christ be God, then serve him. Or you will give in to the Antichrist. The Bible says, that they receive not the love. 2 Thessalonians, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because look at verse 9. Even him who's coming, this is talking about the Antichrist. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the lost. That's where they go. If you fall for this Elon Musk fake gospel, you will die in your sins. If you seek salvation through the flesh, you will die in your sins. But if you seek it through Christ, who died for my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world, you will be forgiven of your sin. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That is the promise of God. Amen? That is the absolute promise of God. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen?
By the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved, saved. My sins are all forgiven. Christ is mine. I'm on my way to heaven. Once a guilty sinner, lost and done. Now a child of God, saved through his Son. Saved, I'm saved. Through Christ, my all in all. Saved, I'm saved. Whatever may befall, he died upon the cross for me. He bore the awful penalty, and now I'm saved eternally. I'm saved, saved, saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved.
Amen and amen. That is the gospel we preach, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'll play a song here, give you a chance to say hi. If you're a first-time listener, there's been like 60 people on, average about 60 people, looks like. But if you've never said hi before, please go ahead and do. And I'll play a song here for a little while here, and then we'll get out of here.
Steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay. My Lord, he calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't had long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My lightning, the trumpet sound within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here.
Amen. All right. Well, God bless you all. Just to keep you updated, I'm not sure. I've got a busy week ahead of me, so I'm not sure when I'm going to come on again. Tomorrow night I'll be preaching a message here. You can catch us at 7:30 p.m. Central Time on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. If you go there, you can catch us live there tomorrow night. And then, let's see, next time, I'm not sure if it'll be Thursday or Friday or what I'm going to do yet. I just don't know yet. So I've got a busy week ahead of me. I'm trying to prepare some things, so we'll see what happens with that. But just pray for us, okay? Pray for our ministry. Pray for all of our needs to finish up getting the things that we need for the studio. If the Lord leads you to give to our ministry, you can give through PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or pastorcooley@icloud.com. You can give through that. Or you can do Apple Pay, or some people have done cryptocurrency. Some people have done, all kinds of different things. So whatever the Lord leads, or you can mail something. The address is down there at the bottom, right there of our sermon audio page. There's our meeting house address where you can find us if you'd like to send us something that way. If not, that's okay too. Just pray for us. We definitely need your prayers, and we appreciate them. Well, God bless you all. I will put this on sermon audio a little bit later, probably either tonight or tomorrow. So to go on there, and hope to hear from you soon. It's good to be back, and thank you for your prayers. And I will be bringing you some things about the Grand Canyon, some pictures, and all that good stuff. So I don't know when that's going to be yet, but we'll figure that out real soon. I want to show you a bunch of things. I think you'll enjoy it.